The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
Several years ago, on a Saturday morning, I realized I needed to go to a sporting goods store and replenish the lost golf balls from the preceding week so I could play that morning. Now, what I didn't realize was when I was headed towards the store and getting there that there was going to be three things that was going to strike me that morning, that was going to cause me to think and to contemplate. And the first one, as I pulled into the parking lot, there was this motorcycle. Yell Harley. I don't ride a motorcycle. I want to ride a motorcycle. I just never did. And so somebody told me this is a street glide. Now, this is not the motorcycle, but it was one just like it. And when I pulled into the parking lot, I saw it. I went, wow. So I parked my car close to where I would have to ogle it, look at it, wish it was mine, picture me riding it down the highway. And as I walked behind the motorcycle on the way to the store, I looked on the saddlebags. Is the first thing that hit me. Had a bumper sticker. The bumper sticker read like this: "Real men love Jesus." I went, wow! Then I saw the license plate. The license plate was a figure 4, Jesus. I went, wow! Then I got a motorcycle in the parking lot declaring Jesus as Lord. How great is that? Yeah. So I go in to make my purchase. And I pick up my golf balls, and I head towards the checkout line. And I get my second thing to think about. There's 5 cash registers and 1 cashier. Not only that, but back there's some people that came in the outdoor and went to the front of the line. Back then, I would have called them an elderly couple. Today would be my age. They had came through the outdoor and was at the end of the checkout line there, had got the attention of the cashier, the only cashier, and was trying to return a purchase that they had purchased sometime earlier. The young man was trying to convince them that he couldn't help them. They needed to be at customer service. And he just did not have the capability of helping them. But there was a communication block. They were not understanding. And he was trying his best to get them to go to customer service. Now, standing in the line was a gentleman who was getting aggravated because he wanted to pay for his items and leave. So he boastfully was letting everybody on God's green earth know that he was agitated. He was saying things like, "Can't you get another cashier out here? Get somebody, get a manager out here and show these people where to go. They're holding everything up. People got things to do today." Now, I'm getting aggravated. But he was so loud that it got the attention of a manager, and he came out with another cashier. He convinced the couple that they needed to come with him, and yes, he could take care of their problem. And so when they opened up a new cashier, opened up a new register, guess who ran to it? Thank God it was the guy. To all everybody else in line going, "Thank you, Lord." He made his purchase. There's a woman in front of me. She said, "Go over to the other cash register." I said, No. "You go. I want to stay in this line." And when I got up to the young man, when it was my turn to make my purchase. He said something on the line of, I'm sorry for your inconvenience. I'm sorry for the delay. Excuse me for that. And I said, son, first thing I want to tell you is don't ever apologize for trying to serve somebody. You were doing your very best to help those people. Now, I understand they were in the wrong spot, but you did your best to help them out. Don't ever apologize for trying to do your job at the best you can do. Number two, son, you're going to realize that there are people in this world that their time is more valuable than yours, and in fact, more valuable than the rest of the world. And he looked at me and he said, thank you. I made my purchase and proceeded out the door. Now, actually, I noticed that at the same time as I'm going out the door, the woman that wanted me to go in front of her, she had made her purchase, and we go out the door at the same time. And we notice in front of us, walking towards their vehicle, was the gentleman making all the racket. Already figured it out, haven't you? When he got to his vehicle, he threw his leg over the motorcycle that had the bumper sticker, Real Men Love Jesus, and the license plate, For Jesus. Let me read the text to you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we will know that when He, Jesus, appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Lord, as we come to this sermon and as I speak, if I get in your way, knock me down, get me out of the way. Open up our hearts and our ears and our soul to what you need us to hear, what you want us to hear, that we might make changes in our conduct, that we can be what you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and sending the Christ who gives us life, and it's in His name I pray. Amen. Knowing is reflecting. We get in the very first verse, sort of our base, sort of where we need to start from. It says this, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. Let me explain it to you in the Greek. The first word, see, has the nuance of, hey, look, pay attention. Something's coming. Listen up. And what is it that's coming? The second English word is what. And that Greek word usually has the nuance of what kind? Banana or orange. But John doesn't use it that way. John uses it of what, in the force of what size is it? Look. Hey, something's coming. It's big. It's really, really big. You can't imagine how big and enormous this is. And what it's given to us is the word given. it bestowed. I love how the NIV has it. It's lavished. Hey, look, see how great, how big, how awesome this is. God has lavished on us, given us, overflowed us with. And what is that? That we are called the children of God. That Greek word for children of God is technon. And it is literally meaning the offspring of human parents. It is used to, I've lost my spot. It is used for offspring. I lost my train of thought as well, which is bad. I can't find it on the screen. I can't think it either. It doesn't say that this gift, this huge, enormous thing we're supposed to look for, it doesn't say that God lavished us over us to be called, well, friends of God. It doesn't say he lavished on us to be acquaintances of God. It doesn't say that he lavished on the fact that we might pass each other on the street and say hi to each other, God. No, it says we are children of God, and so, folks, so we are. The New International Commentary on the New Testament says that this Greek word technon has the same force as the Greek word huios. If I say it in Greek, huiou ta theou, son of God, found down here, verse 8. It's used 45 times. Huios is used 45 times in the New Testament to describe and highlight the Son of God. Do you see how big, how great has been lavished on us? Son of God? If you look at the very first sentence, it says Father. The Father of the Son of God considers us to be of the same love as the Son of Jesus. We're not just friends, we're family.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
The end of verse 1 says the reason why the world doesn't know us is it didn't know him. No. This is one of my favorite Greek words. Gnosko. To know, gnosko. Sort of reminds me of snow cone. I don't know why. That actually just came to me in the first service, so afterwards I'm going to go have a snow cone. Gnosko is used 222 times in the New Testament to describe a personal relationship, a relationship with God, or a relationship with Christ. To know, to have knowledge, to understand, to be educated. If I go back to the Old Testament, there's the Hebrew word, it's not gnosko, obviously. It's a Hebrew word, yada. Yada is to care, to put yourself in care of, to care for, to trouble yourself with, but yada is more than that. Yada is that special, intimate relationship that a man and a woman have together when they're married. The sexual relationship between a man and a woman, that is to know one another. It's that personal and confidential relationship with one another that is, there's no way of measuring that. Then, and our text says in verse 2, beloved, we are God's children now. It says, it goes to the future, right? It says, and what we will be has not yet appeared. Okay, that's in the future. All right, okay. I get it. We're going to be God's children in the future. And it's not the past. Well, we were God's children yesterday too. But it's right now. You see, when you think about that future, what we worry about his second coming, You know, that's what it's talking about, the future. We're going to be like him when he comes again, but we're not there now. There's only three people that I know that have seen him like that, right? Peter, James, and John, when they went on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw him the way he is now and what we're going to be like when we get there. But that's not what John's talking about here. He's talking about now. This very instant. There's some reason why John wants us to get it in our souls that every breath we take and every moment we take that we are children of God at that very moment. When I was meditating on this knowing God, this gnosko, some questions started invading my mind and being the central point of my thought. And I think it should be for all of us too. We should have that same thought. It is that what came to my mind is, how well do I know Jesus? Do I know Christ personally? Do I make an effort to know Christ more? And from the story with the motorcycle, here's the important one that got to my mind. Is my knowledge of Christ so in tune with him, does it control my conduct? And I got to confess for me, I can't confess for you, obviously, but for me, I have to say that most time my knowledge, it's just not enough. I can be the one that's a little grouchy. So I thought, how do I get a picture in my mind? What this knowing so much of Christ, how can I get a picture in my mind so I can pattern my life to do that? What can I use as an illustration? And I thought of two people, my Uncle Jake and my Aunt Mary. That's them right there. Disregard the happy birthday cake that says 9. That should have been 95 or 94, I think. I'm going to blame that on my cousin. He got the cake. I want to tell you about it. You don't know these people, so it doesn't do any good to show you a picture unless I tell you about them. They were a couple for 80 years. They were married for 72. I joked with them a lot, saying they could discuss and debate the rise and fall of the Roman Empire in 20 words. We would sometimes, and oftentimes, we would go for a ride. They like to go for a ride. I would drive. She would sit in the passenger seat, tell me how to drive. And he sat in the back and smiled. And we would go on a trip, and we just went through the countryside, usually back in the country where we're from, out from the cities where they roamed and romped. And one time we were on one of these little trips, and I rounded a curve, and she said, "Remember the house up there on the hill?" And I looked, and there was no house on the hill. There was a tree. And he said, "Yes." And you remember he worked at the church. She said, "Yeah." And she had always had eggs, and she always had that blue hat. And they had a dog. He said they had a dog, and she said they had a pony too, and they had two kids. And one kid went here, and one kid, and they're just back and forth and back and forth, two or three words. And she looked at me and said, "You know what we're talking about, don't you?" And I said, "I don't have a clue." I didn't, but they did. They were so in tune with each other, he could literally answer her questions before she asked him and her him. And another thing they did that they had, they knew what would cause grief to the other one. And as far as I ever saw, they may have had a fight. I don't know if they did. I'm sure they did. Everybody does. I never saw it. But you didn't cause grief to the other one. I've made that mistake. And I know one thing, you don't say nothing about him, because that little lady in the walker, you say something about her man, she turned into a pit bull. You see, that's it. That's the relationship we need to be with Christ. We need to be so in tune with him that we answer each other's questions with not even thinking. It just happens. And we never do anything that would upset him. Never. And I thought, well, how do we get that? How do we get there? We just can't get that for coming to church on Sunday. We can't. We got to spend quiet time, one-on-one, each day with the living Christ. We need to be reading and searching the Bible and studying how He interacted with those around Him. We need to pray for our relationship with Him to strengthen so that we can get that bond. More importantly, for the motorcycle, we need to pray that we reflect Him in our conduct. You see, the result for truly knowing Christ is found in verse 6. I'm going to use a Good News translation. It says, "So everyone who lives in union with Christ does not continue to sin, but whoever continues to sin has never seen Him or known Him." You see, there's two roads that we can travel. We can travel down the path, the road, that honors and glorifies Christ, that we can be in union with Him. Or we can take the fork in the road, which does the opposite. Verse 7, found in the New Living Translation, says this, "Dear children, do not let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous." When we get in tune with Him, and we know Him, then we do what He do. And the world sees that. There's the opposite, right? Verse 8, this from the Complete Jewish Bible, says this, "The person who keeps on sinning is from the adversary, because from the very beginning the adversary has kept on sinning. It is for this very reason that the Son of God appeared to destroy these doings of the adversary." You already know that Greek word, that Hebrew word. You already know what the adversary is in Hebrew. It's Satan, Satan. To know Jesus is to follow the path that destroys everything Satan puts into our lives. Those moments when we get aggravated and scream. To know Christ is to know, that doesn't happen. Now, it does happen to us. But the more we know Him, that goes away. And then we start reflecting the righteous one. And what does this reflection look like? Verse 10. "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil." "Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." I am not going to call the guy that threw his leg over the yellow Harley Satan. I'm not going to. I will say that his conduct looked more like Satan than it did look like Christ. Because I'll be nice here. He made a jerk, and I'm being nice the way he was acting. You know, and I thought about that woman as we walked out that morning and was following him. I wasn't paying attention to her. I don't know if she was a Christian or not. I don't. And I don't know if she was paying as much attention to him as I was. I wasn't paying attention. I don't know if she saw him throw his leg over that motorcycle. I don't know if she saw the bumper sticker and the license plate. But a thought come to my mind, what if she's not a Christian? And she did observe all that, and she did see that. Why would she want to be a Christian? Why would she want to act like him? And so I thought of the Master in His great Sermon on the Mount, when He describes us children of God, right? You know what He says about us, don't you? You're the salt. You're the flavor of the world. You're the light that shines so the world can see Him. You're the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And then He says this, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they can see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven."
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.